Can we walk this road together? I can't travel it alone. I need someone beside me to help me find my way back home.
Hello, this is Dan Prinzen, Executive Director of the WASMA Center for Human Rights in Boise with Adam Thompson.
Hey there.
Welcome to Voices of Idaho. Today we're talking with Ben Harris, Idaho educator. We at the center have known Ben for several years, very active in our student programming, very active in our professional development opportunities. But today we'd like to specifically talk about something that Ben was engaged in. Ben, you went to Poland.
I did.
Who took you to Poland?
Well, I had the privilege of traveling with educators from around the United States, selected by Yad Vashem in Jerusalem and the Echoes and Reflections curriculum group.
So for our audience, if you're not familiar, Yad Vashem is the leading international resource center on the Holocaust. They are a Holocaust education center and museum. The grounds are extensive in Jerusalem. Echoes and Reflection, one of the programs that they sponsor. So, Ben, if you look at what you just experienced traveling through Poland, how would you frame that experience according to our concept of the spiral of injustice?
So, over the course of traveling through the country, I got to stand in places that represent the very bottom of the spiral of injustice, which is elimination.
It becomes very real.
It does.
Because now all of a sudden, instead of just a theory or concept, we are talking about real people.
Correct.
What was the impact of standing in the place?
Well, for me, I knew that 3.5 million Jews resided in Poland prior to World War II. But I was shocked how central Poland was to Jewish culture and to Jewish life. And so to see how Nazi ideology tried to eliminate Jews from the country was shocking and disturbing.
You know, so often when we talk about just the numbers, we forget that they're actual people.
Correct.
That each number has a face and a voice behind it. Tell us a little bit more about what the experience was like.
Well, you got to stand in places that had come a long way from World War II. Prior to the war, cities like Warsaw had the largest Jewish community in Europe. They made up roughly 30% of the total population. There was a rich, vibrant Jewish culture in Poland, and especially in Warsaw. Roughly 400 synagogues, a large market in Jabłówka Square. And all of this will change with the construction of the Warsaw Ghetto. About 350,000 Jews were confined into an area in Warsaw, which is about roughly 2 square miles. And the laws that the Nazis passed to dehumanize and to destroy Jewish culture were significant. Jews every day faced food shortages, typhus, violence. And then in 1943, under the guise of resettlement, which is part of elimination, as the spiral of injustice tells us, Jews were rounded up and sent to mostly Treblinka. And today, all that really remains of this tragedy are several plaques in the pavement, scattered monuments, just one synagogue of the 400 that were in existence, and very small fragments of the ghetto wall.
So you actually had the chance to stand at the site of Treblinka.
I did.
What did you see?
Well, it's a very small place. I didn't realize how small it was going to be. It's about the size of 2 football fields. It was only open about 13 months, I believe, yet 700,000 people were murdered there. It was a shocking sight. It was very, very quiet. There were a lot of Israeli military personnel there and Israeli student groups. But other than that, it was just our small group.
What stands there today to mark the site?
There are roughly 17,000 stones that represent each of the Jewish communities that were completely destroyed by Nazi elimination.
You know, for us, the Holocaust becomes such a poignant example of when humanity devolves.
Correct.
When injustice so takes root, we can trace the Holocaust through the entire spiral of injustice, the level by level, language, avoidance, discrimination, violence. And now what you're referencing is standing in the actual sites of elimination.
Correct.
Where once a population had existed, a culture had existed, a people had existed, and now there's just a stone that pays honor or memorial to that.
This is Train Platform by Kara Halford. When we were children, we were afraid of the dark, that unknown world locked behind fiery sparks. When we were adults, we were afraid of the difference, hidden in the world, locked in closed doors. We cared for this fear, let it prosper, and let it seep into our thoughts, twisting our minds, letting our morals rot. So fearful were we that when a leader rose, we supported his every move into destruction of any disparity we hold. Loathing fueled our blood, rage fed our souls as we crumpled peace into ash and let it turn into control. So when the last leaf fell, the last train left, the station where so many were sent to their graves, and then the world went quiet and wept as they wondered how any one of us slept. So when the blossoms grew, we realized we were still children, afraid of the dark and what stalked in the wild. When we were old, we finally were afraid of the thought of purity. Yet when we looked into the streets, there were no longer children to be seen.
How was such an experience, being able to now associate place, let's put the layer of the spiral of injustice over that place, how's that going to influence what happens in your classroom this year?
It's a great question. This was a really difficult journey. I don't know that I was fully prepared for that. Certainly, it's the most difficult professional development that I've ever engaged in. But what kept me a little bit upbeat, I suppose, was the ability to tell stories, not solely focus on the tragic outcome of elimination, but really to get to know the people that went through this experience. And so to be selected for this program, each teacher had to agree to research information on an individual whose details are recorded at Yad Vashem in their pages of testimony. These are similar to a census record that survivors fill out. And so we received randomly an individual to research, and then we had to tell their story at a location that was significant to each person. So for me in the classroom, it's trying to focus on those individual stories.
Well, then, but let's take that idea, since we know each person has a story. Mm-hmm. And what you gained beyond recognition of the numbers is you gained now a face and a voice to go with that. How do we bring that in with our concept of being an upstander?
Well, I think each of the stories that I heard and each that we, you know, tried to teach our students about, it's really about courage in the face of everyday problems. These are normal individuals that had jobs and lives and everything prior to the war and to the Holocaust. And I think we focus on their very human elements.
So how do we do that? What does that look like in the classroom then? In your role as an Idaho educator, bringing this information, these stories to your students, what's the goal here?
The goal is to remember their stories. How to do it? Certainly students could do exactly as I did in this journey, which is to research the lives of individuals. There is, thankfully, a mountain of evidence that we have available to us. And it's just continuing to tell these stories. What the Nazis tried to do in trying to eliminate Jews and to eliminate Jewish culture, we have the opportunity to prevent in continuing to tell these stories.
You know, so often when we talk about the Holocaust or in genocide education, we say never again. Always educating that never again does such atrocity happen. We have to echo with that, never forget. Because if we forget the impact of what occurred, if we forget the impact of the people, the impact of events on the person, will it happen again? When we begin to lose the sense of humanity in the story. What ultimately was your greatest takeaway in the experience of going, standing, learning, interacting with other educators from across the United States? What was your key takeaway?
Just how fragile it can be. You know, as I said, it was a really, really difficult thing. Each day, I didn't feel like I could stand in another site of genocide. And to hear heartbreaking stories and how so much of it was sheer luck or the lack thereof. Just trying to prevent that, trying to, you know, recognize the, trying to empathize with individuals, trying to recognize the good in people, as hard as it might be. I think that perhaps there's an opportunity to interrupt the spiral.
So with that then, what will be your key goal or your objective in the classroom?
Really help students develop a sense of empathy, no matter what.
When we talk about the power of words, certainly we reference the quotes that are etched in the stone of the memorial. Is there a particular quote that speaks to you or speaks to this experience?
There is. Sorry, it's from Aristotle, believe it or not. And he said, educating the mind without educating the heart is no education at all.
Is that what the classroom needs to be about?
Absolutely.
We bring it all in. It is the integration of the whole person, both head, heart, and spirit, to make a difference. It's why we will continue to echo, not in my town, not in my state, Idaho is too great for hate.
With you right here beside me, we'll find our home with peace again.
Do you think there's a national image of who or what Idaho is?
Yeah, and I think it's actually, it's not just Idaho, it's rural America. Okay. And it's being propped up by this president. You turn on any television, whether they be liberal pundits or Fox News, and what do you hear about rural America? You hear Trump's base, red, rural, racist. What you don't hear is people who were hurting, people who have been hurting for a very, very long time. Who, when someone came and said, I'm going to break it up and change this whole system, found a glimmer of hope. And what has happened since is that they've been now cast as enemy, and enemy from each other in their own communities. And people are really hurting, and they're really craving connection with one another. We've had so many people say, I haven't had anybody ask me what I think in 30 years.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Wasmuth Center podcast. That clip you just heard was with the Executive Director of United Vision of Idaho, Adrian Evans. That episode will be airing in 2 weeks on Monday, October 28th, so check it out then. The Voices of Idaho is created by Dan Prenzing and produced and edited by me, Adam Thompson. See you in 2 weeks.